My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our last Sunday, we read that passage about how the harvest is plentiful, yet the workers are few. And of course, that makes me think about farming a little bit. And this week, as we focus on those last verses of the passage I read, talking about the yoke that Jesus wants to give us, I'm thinking about farming a little bit again. So as we talked about the harvest last week, that is a season of the year for farmers that there just doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. There doesn't seem to be enough time of alertness, enough energy to get everything done. And so as we consider this offer that Jesus makes this morning, this offer of his yoke, so to speak, I want to begin by maybe encouraging you to think about some of those moments in your life where you've been more tired than you've ever been before or since. How many of you can at least think of one of the top five times in your life that you have been just dead dog tired? Okay. I was thinking about that for myself a little bit. And I wish that I was the kind of husband and father that could say, you know, those first few weeks or months after my two daughters were born, that's when I was at my most tired. But see, I married really well. And those are probably some of the top times for Jenny, but they're not some of the top times for me, I suppose. I have to think back even a little bit farther than that. And I remember the two summers that I spent in Iowa where detasseling season for corn, for seed corn, got pushed a little bit later into August than it usually was. How many of you know what detasseling is? You walk through the rows and you pull the things and pull the tassels. And when detasseling season got pushed far enough into August that it overlapped with two-a-days for football, I remember the end of those days. I mean, you didn't even have the energy to eat supper. It was like walk in the house and just kind of fall asleep in the shower and then stumble to bed and then wake up and do it again. And luckily that only lasted for a couple of weeks. But I remember that was one of those times where I was just dog tired. I couldn't even think about anything else. So weary, so burdened, I suppose you'd say, that even taking care of some of the other basic needs in life get overlooked a little bit. Now, I don't know that any of us are farmers. I know some of us do some farm work. But you know, the world that most of us live in have that and those kind of seasons as part of our own work, whatever we do. You know, I think about financial people and when it comes to calendar years or fiscal years. I mean, the hours worked just multiply and multiply. It doesn't seem like there's enough time in a day to get your work done. You just don't have the energy to put into anything else. And perhaps, you know, perhaps some of you, for one reason or another, whether it be work or whether it be other concerns in your life, some of you maybe are that kind of weary today on this day of rest. Like I said, we've all had those seasons, and sometimes it's for reasons that are not a shared experience. Sometimes it's for the specific burdens and the specific adversities and obstacles that God has given to each one of us. Maybe you sit here this morning and you don't feel that you have much left in the way of physical or mental or emotional or spiritual resources. Not much strength, not much alertness, maybe not much patience for things that have gone wrong, things that certainly will go wrong in the near future. Maybe, like we've all been from time to time, you're worn thin because you've stayed up too late and you've worked too hard. And so what am I getting at? Weariness. Weariness. We all know what it is. We've all experienced it. It isn't necessarily bad. But we all know that you can't live with it indefinitely, or it will drag you down and completely wear you out until you're pretty much useless, useless for anything that requires energy or creativity or presence with people. And so when we get weary like that, we need some rest. Also, when we're burdened. Now, being burdened isn't the same thing as being weary, but the two are related. Being burdened means that you are carrying around a load of something or other, and it doesn't necessarily, especially in this context in which we read these verses, it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical load. It can be an emotional load. It can be a spiritual load. But it's too heavy to carry, and it makes you tired. And we know that if that load is shouldered for too long, that it can also do you harm. I'm thinking about some of us in our congregation that deal with chronic pain, right? Now, we're back to the physical here, and we're going to get to the spiritual, but you know, I'm just trying to give you examples here. But what about those of you who deal with chronic pain, the kind that just make life uncomfortable, that make sleep hard to get because you can't get comfortable? Joints and muscles under stress for some reason or another. And we all know that there are medications and there are treatments that can give some relief, but those of us who deal with this know that the hurt just keeps coming back. And so we go to our scripture text. Jesus saying in verse 28, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You know, it's an attractive and beautiful invitation. And I'm guessing that those of you who are sitting back and really considering those words, it almost gives you a warm feeling in the depths of your soul to hear that invitation, because life gets so crazy. Life gets so crazy even in the summer when the pace should be different, but life gets crazy. It's an attractive and beautiful invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But we have to ask, what does it mean? What is that invitation all about? What is Jesus actually offering here? And now we switch gears a little bit, because Jesus isn't necessarily talking to people who are dealing with physical burdens, and they're not dealing with physical tiredness. He's not talking to people who are going through a season in life where they've had to stay up too late, or they've had to work too hard that they didn't have energy for anything else. And so he's not necessarily talking to people who live a whole mile or two away from the well, and they got to walk back and forth with the burden of buckets of water on their shoulders a couple times a day. When he speaks to the weary and the burdened, he's speaking to people that have other kinds of weariness, people who carry a different sort of burden. And it's a very specific burden that he's talking about, and it's explained more fully in what he says next. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." How many of you know what a yoke is? Now, when I think about yoke, I immediately think about oxen. It's that big carved piece of wood that kind of spans, where I've seen it before, it's two oxen. And that's the load-bearing brace or support that's put on their shoulders, and then they have to pull something or carry something. But you know, yokes can be for people too, even physical yokes. So for example, if you, this is the way it was earlier in our own history, but in other parts of the world, this is still very much the par for the course. People use yokes too, and it could be as simple as just a board or a stick with two strings tied to either side, carrying buckets for, you know, perhaps water. So, you know, in our context, I suppose if we needed a personal, individual yoke, we could just grab a 2x4 or something comparable and drill a couple of holes, tie a couple of ropes or chains, and tie some buckets to them, and, you know, we could carry a lot of stuff. But the purpose of a yoke is to kind of distribute the weight that you're carrying across your whole body rather than, you know, carrying something with your arms, which would eventually pull your shoulders right out of their sockets. But you know, in Jesus' day, yoke had another meaning as well. And the yoke, I think it stems from the more specific and goes to the more general. And so I'm going to explain it that way. But more specifically, when somebody talked about a yoke, and not talking about a yoke in a physical sense, there were different rabbis, different teachers throughout Jewish history. And these rabbis, in essence, you know, studied extremely hard, and they learned some things experientially, and they did a lot of thinking and considering of what would they be considering. They would be considering the law of Israel. They would be considering the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. They would also be considering what the prophets had preached about. It all kind of traces back to the Torah. You know, how are we applying God's teaching in this world? And different rabbis had different ideas about this. And now rabbis were teachers. And so a teacher implies someone that has students, just like a leader would imply somebody who has followers. And so these different rabbis that had kind of a different perspective on things would gather to themselves different students that wanted to learn from them. And so this process of mentorship was called, from a student's perspective, taking on the yoke of the teacher or rabbi that they had chosen to follow. And so what the students were gaining from the rabbi wasn't just teaching, really. You know, this was an all-encompassing worldview. Because you have to understand that students who were had taken on the yoke of a rabbi would follow that rabbi along. They would step where the rabbi stepped. They would do what the rabbi did. They would say what the rabbi said. They would do the best that they could to even try and think the thoughts that the rabbi was thinking. And so that's the specific context of yoke in a non-physical sense in Bible times. And so what Jesus is offering to people is a yoke, the yoke that he has established, the true yoke, I guess you'd call it, because Jesus has the absolute truth, is the absolute truth, is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he has the yoke that is perfectly suited for us from God. Now, why did the people need that? Because not everybody was a follower of a teacher. Not everybody was educated enough or had the right qualifications to take upon themselves the yoke of a rabbi and be kind of one of the rabbi's followers and learning in that tradition to be a great teacher of the people. And so this is where we get to the general understanding of yoke. The general understanding of yoke is like that teacher's yoke on a societal scale. And so in Israel, a person's yoke was considered to be the whole obligation that that person had to take upon him or herself in order to please or satisfy God. And so these aren't people following specific rabbis or teachers. These are people who are following just the general consensus of what is required by God as interpreted by the many teachers and scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. Because many people, you know, taking their cues from Pharisees and other Jewish rabbis and teachers, came to believe that in order to truly please God, they had to keep the law down to the tiniest detail. And when I say tiniest detail, I don't mean tiniest detail as it is presented in Scripture, as it was presented to God's people from God himself on Sinai. I'm talking about the interpretations and the implications that human beings had placed around the law to protect the law and to help them to obey it to its very smallest detail. This was the yoke that the people had to bear, and it was indeed wearisome and burdensome because it was hard just to keep track of it all. It was hard for somebody learned and intelligent and cream of the crop intellectually to keep track of all of it, much less your commonplace everyday person. Because it's hard to keep track of, it's hard to follow through on, and it's wearisome because you never did really succeed. And so you always wondered throughout every day of your life, did God really accept me? Does God really accept me? Or maybe he's angry with me instead. And I would imagine that people who were, you know, truly wanting to be the people of God would go through their lives and they would kind of evaluate every single thing that happened to them in kind of this light of, is God happy with me or is God angry with me? And it must have been a terrible burden indeed. Now, even in modern times, this perspective is, you know, practiced pretty commonly in Judaism. It's called legalism. And for example, let's say on the Sabbath, a hardcore legalist Jew is not allowed to turn on a light switch. But that he could ask somebody else to turn it on and he can enjoy the light that the light provides. That would be one thing, that the type of law that was kind of surrounding the law in Bible times that today has kind of evolved and there are just different ways of doing things. Another one, a hardcore legalist Jew cannot turn on a stove. That is too much work. That's working on the Sabbath. But if someone else will turn on the stove for him, he's welcome to cook on it. Okay? But can you imagine what life would be like if you believed that God's favor depended on such picky things? I mean, can you see how the law would get just burdensome, burdensome, burdensome extremely quickly? Well, anyway, the people that were listening to and following Jesus had this heavy yoke of religious expectations upon their shoulders, making them feel like, you know what, I'm not even coming close. Maybe God just doesn't even care about me. And it's these people that Jesus comes to. It's these people that Jesus comes to and says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he says to them, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will, that's a promise, you will find rest for your souls. So this is kind of amazing because, you know, Jesus, by offering his yoke, isn't just kind of offering them the scope of his teachings. He's actually offering these desperate people himself. He says, I offer you my yoke. And he is telling them, accept my teachings and learn from me. And that's another way of saying, you know what, listen to me. Follow me. Be my disciple. Allow me to be your rabbi. Allow me to be your teacher. And let me tell you something. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I was doing a little research on that phrase in particular this week. And when Jesus says my burden is light, it means exactly what it says. It means exactly what it says. It's a burden that somebody carries, and this is a light burden. It doesn't weigh very much, so you don't notice it very much. But it's interesting, because when he says, my yoke is easy, there's a little bit more to be read into that. The yoke is easy, and that's the Greek word krestos. Actually, it has these connotations of kindness and pleasantness. So it's not just easy, but it's actually enjoyable. It's actually pleasant to take on this yoke of Jesus that he is offering to those who would follow him. Jesus says, take my yoke because it's going to fit comfortably. It's going to fit perfectly. And not only that, but the burden that I give you is light, so you're not even going to really notice that you're working too hard. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus teaching these people? What is Jesus teaching us in that statement? He's teaching us about God. He's teaching us about first things, and he's teaching us about our present reality, and he's teaching us about future things. He's teaching about how God has fulfilled his promises, those promises given throughout human history in order to redeem sinful men and women. God's promises to establish a kingdom and a community of his people. God's promises to restore the original perfection of his creation. Everyone and everything in it. Jesus says, come to me, believe in me, trust in me, find your life in me, and you will have, indeed, you do have rest. And so we know as Christians, and those of you who have been coming in the evenings to that Galatians series, you know it maybe even better than some of the rest of you. We know that being a Christian isn't going through the law and God's requirements and dotting all those I's and crossing all those T's, hoping that we're doing enough for God to accept us. No, taking on Jesus' yoke, taking on Jesus' burden is a thankfully obedient and an obediently thankful posture. That's what a life in fellowship with Jesus is. It's simply following him. That yoke that he's offering us is the yoke of relationship with him, of union with him. And having such a relationship, having such a perfect yoke, makes our burdens in life, all of them, light indeed. Now, that's not to say that we don't go through difficult things. That's not to say that we don't carry difficult burdens. But as I said a few weeks ago, when we were talking about prayer, about taking our burdens and our concerns, laying them on the cross, stepping back and walking away from them, we have a place in Jesus Christ to offload our burdens when they're too heavy. And the burdens that God does want us to go through life with, he gives us the strength and the grace and the perfectly comfortable yoke to deal with what we need to deal with in order ultimately to glorify God and to be sanctified ourselves. Now, Jesus says this to people who are desperately longing to hear it, but not everyone in Jesus' day accepted his teachings with such joy and with such relief. There were people who were exposed to Jesus' miracles and his teachings, and they rejected him. And by and large, it was those people who felt like they were living their lives pretty well already. Those people that were living their lives on their own strength and felt like, you know what, I've got things pretty well together. And so he mentions those cities where he had preached and where he had ministered. And he makes that comment about the learned and the wise having God's revelation hidden from them and it being revealed to those like little children. And so there is an aspect of humility in approaching Jesus' yoke and approaching a life of following Jesus as well. We never want to feel as though, you know what, we've got it all figured out and the rest of you are idiots. Taking Jesus' yoke upon our shoulders is the most natural thing in the world for us to do. Why? Because that is how God created us. And that is what Jesus did when he redeemed us, was making us perfectly suited for the yoke that we receive when we follow him. And the beautiful thing about sanctification is that that yoke gets easier and easier as we grow in our relationship with him. And so let me encourage you this morning to listen to this invitation of Jesus and to respond. Perhaps by saying, yes, Lord, I will come. I will come because I am weary in burdens and I long for the kind of rest that can only be found in you. I long for the salvation that only you can provide. Or perhaps for some of our more mature believers in here, mature believers not in a prideful way, but in a humble way, those of you who have seen some life experience, perhaps you would respond, yes, Lord, I have come. Thank you for taking away my burdens and my weariness. Please continue to help me along the way, whatever lies ahead. Let's pray.